This podcast is supported by Indeed.com, helping you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. Receive a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/technews. Terms and conditions apply.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, March 24th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, have reached the music industry. Artists, producers, and others are using them to sell things like albums and experiences to fans. It's still early days for NFTs, but some see these new digital assets as a way of ensuring that creators are compensated fairly for their art. Our music industry reporter Ann Steele will join us to explain after these headlines. Online lending platforms are facing the prospect of stricter regulations in China. People familiar with the matter say regulators there are focusing on what's known as loan facilitation, where online lending platforms assess borrowers, connect them with lenders, and sometimes help with risk management, but don't put up any capital themselves. Authorities want to ensure that the platforms have skin in the game, while also making sure that banks have a proper grip on the risks they're running and that consumer data isn't misused. Regulators didn't respond to requests for comment. Also in China, Tesla CEO Elon Musk is waging a charm offensive after reports that the government there is restricting some personnel's use of Tesla vehicles. In a TV interview with state media, Musk praised China's plans to tackle carbon emissions and grow its economy. And he said China will become Tesla's largest market in the long term. Shares of Microsoft were up yesterday after Bloomberg reported that Microsoft is in talks to buy the chat app Discord for more than $10 billion. The Wall Street Journal hasn't independently verified Bloomberg's report, but an acquisition would follow recent efforts by Microsoft to buy up other consumer internet companies like TikTok and Pinterest, and it would bolster the company's video games business. Here's our Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher with more.
We already know Microsoft is a very big force in video gaming. It has the Xbox console. It's built up a very strong game services business with Xbox Live. And they have this new service called Game Pass, which is like a game subscription service. They've been doing work on cloud-based gaming, game streaming. So if they were trying to build up that kind of business, Discord would actually fit really well there because Discord is kind of the default social network around gaming.
And GameStop released its first earnings report since retail investors sent the video game seller's shares soaring earlier this year. It said sales fell slightly during the holiday quarter from the prior year, as coronavirus measures pushed the company to close some of its stores. GameStop also said it's hired the former Amazon executive Jenna Owens as its new operating chief, as it works to shift its business away from physical stores. By the way, we talked on yesterday's show about the challenges ahead for GameStop after the frenzy, so be sure to cue that episode up next. All right, coming up, why NFTs could be the music industry's next big hit. That's after the break.
This podcast is supported by Indeed.com, helping you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. Receive a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/technews. Terms and conditions apply.
Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, have absolutely exploded onto the scene. They're what enabled Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey to sell his first ever tweet from 2006 for nearly $3 million this week. We've also seen buyers snap up NFTs of basketball highlights, art, even digital real estate inside of video games. And now the asset trend has reached the music world. We're nearing $45 million in transaction values just in music-related NFTs. And the craze is touching on some pre-existing challenges for artists. Our music industry reporter Ann Steele joins me now with more. Hey, Ann, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we've talked about NFTs on the show before, but just as a refresher, what exactly are these things?
So NFTs are essentially digital collectibles that are authenticated or what we call minted using blockchain technology and purchased using cryptocurrencies like Ethereum. So NFTs basically act as virtual deeds, and they convey ownership of a digital asset. Each one gets uploaded to a digital ledger where it tracks information like when it was created, when it was sold, for how much it was sold, and who bought it.
And how are we seeing the music industry use NFTs?
So we've seen musicians jump in and auction off music, tickets, experiences, art, unreleased music, songs they hadn't put out before, didn't think they'd have an audience for, but, you know, have been able to find sort of rabid fans online. So Blau, a DJ, has sold, I think, over $18 million worth of these things, $17 million in the past month, most of that through a tokenized release of his three-year-old album, Ultraviolet. And that grossed $11.6 million and briefly held the record for the highest price paid for a single NFT at $3.6 million. Other artists like Kings of Leon released a new album as an NFT. Disclosure, Steve Aoki, a lot of electronic artists, but we'll also see Post Malone said he would auction off the chance to play beer pong with him in the Clubhouse app this Thursday.
That is a very Post Malone string of words.
Yeah.
So, Anne, why is this so interesting to musicians in particular, and this year in particular?
This is super interesting to musicians because it is potentially a way to really connect with your core avid fans in another way and to make money from them. The way that most artists make money, as much as 80% of their income for a lot of artists, is on the road out touring. They haven't been able to do that for more than a year at this point with the pandemic. So a lot of folks are struggling, strapped for cash, and they haven't seen their fans in over a year. So this is another way to connect and another way to make money.
And, you know, I'm wondering if this goes back even further than the pandemic in some ways. You know, over the past few years, particularly in the transition to a more streaming-focused music ecosystem, there have been a lot of conversations about how to compensate artists. What's been going on there, and do NFTs play into that conversation?
Definitely. So most artists don't actually make that much money from the music that they put out itself. The superstars do well on streaming, but a lot of mid-tier and smaller artists can't actually make a living from just their music alone through streaming. So a lot of music copyright is controlled by a label. And so revenue from sales or streams of music, a lot of that will go to an artist's record label. With an NFT, what artists and their lawyers and teams around them are sort of pushing for here is that the artist should essentially be making most of the money from an NFT sale, because it's not just the music that's driving it, it's the name, brand recognition, and the artist has sort of created something and put out something new here. Oftentimes, when a musician is putting out a music NFT, they're paired up with some sort of a visual artist that has either a still or a moving digital piece of art that goes along with the music that's being put out as an NFT. So a 50-50 split is becoming the norm between the musician and visual artist. And then from the musical artist, 50%, attorneys and folks who are working in this space are essentially hoping to carve out half of that for the artist based on their name and brand identity, with the remaining 25% going to music copyright holders, which could be the artist, but it could also be their label and publisher.
So I know it's early days yet, but how are fans responding? Who's actually buying up these NFTs?
The initial sales we've seen, they've been very high dollar amounts, but it's a small pool of buyers. And this market has sort of surged thanks to what are called whales. So these relatively few wealthy collectors who have made millions investing in cryptocurrency and are sort of able to bet on a digital asset on a speculative basis. So there is a lot of overlap between cryptocurrency NFT fans and electronic music fans. That's why we've seen a lot of electronic artists like Blau be very successful in this space. But what Blau and others are hoping is that their more everyday fans will be able to come to this space. And that might mean valuations come down, but if it becomes a more sustainable model and they're able to connect with their fans, then it's worth it.
What are the risks here?
These things have value when there's a willing buyer. So we've seen these fantastic speculative valuations happen. Those are happening because there is a strong resale market at this point. And so these valuations go up and up and up as long as there's a willing buyer. But if that stops, then what happens to the valuation? And that's the kind of the question here.
And so looking to the future, what happens next? Is this going to be the new normal for the music industry?
A lot of artists are hoping that it will be. And there's different folks in and around the music industry working to make this more of a normal thing. You know, some folks are working on making a more music-focused NFT platform for different artists to come from. Part of getting more everyday buyers and sellers involved as far as musicians and their fans is sort of lowering the barrier to entry here. On some of these sites like Nifty Gateway, you are able to use a credit card, but it's actually really hard to become a seller on Nifty Gateway. Like, there's a really long wait list and it's not like any musician can sort of hop on there and sell something. So as far as the platforms and being able to transact in this space, there needs to be an easier way of selling and an easier way of buying. Most likely, your entire fan base isn't going to get into crypto, so there's got to be a way for them just to be able to use their credit card to buy these NFTs.
All right, that's our reporter, Ann Steele. Thanks, Ann.
Thanks so much.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.